Glad everybody's, seems like everybody's excited for some reason. I don't know what's going on here. I come to church on a Thursday and, wow. Well, you ought to be excited because there's never been a better time to make sure that you're serving God for the right reason than now. And I'll be revisiting a few of those verses that I gave you last Sunday, and we'll see how far we can get. I know a lot of you got questions. Let me see your hand if you got questions. Oh, one person. That's it. Nobody's got questions. Wow. Well, we'll see if we can get to your questions in a little bit. Maybe I can answer them as we go through. Biggest thing that you got to remember about when you go into the Word of God is you got to make sure that you're serving God the way that He prescribes it in His Word. And this stuff will challenge you in that, whether you're doing that or not. I could tell you days before of how we might have viewed our relationship with God or the way we pick or choose. And I've warned about this over and over and over again that you can't do that. That's something that you can't do. You can't decide on your own how you're going to serve God. How many of you know God prescribes that? He makes that, he says how you're going to serve Him. Well, what we do is just the opposite of what God says. We set our own tone for our relationship with God based upon what we feel. Well, we've been getting ourselves ready, talking about being obedient to the Word of God, being obedient to His Word. And I gave you this verse, the path to folly. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. So what you have to do is you gotta look at the case that's presented. And I said to you, before I started to present any of this stuff, I've been in this for quite some time. And so from the time of my introduction of some of the text here, you've been in it for a very short period of time. And so you got to be careful that you don't, that's why I said earlier that you have to make sure that you pray and you fill with the Holy Ghost. How many understand that? And I hope I explained that enough. If not, I'll explain it a little bit more to you. There's nobody in here that you shouldn't have the Holy Ghost. And there's something that you say, well, I didn't even know, what is that about? Well, I'm going to explain it to you as we go through this, and hopefully you'll grab hold to it and you'll be led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are declared by the Lord sons of God. So we have that declaration made to us, but we got to be led by the Spirit. And the way you're led by the Spirit, you have to receive Him for yourself. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, in essence, you're receiving God. You're receiving the operational presence of God that gives full reign in your life, full authority. So what does that mean? It means you won't do anything else ever again without making sure that you hear from the Lord by His Spirit. And that's how God makes that communication to us, by His Spirit. That's why He said He seeks such to worship Him. He seeks such to worship. That's what Jesus said to the woman in Samaria. He seeks such to worship Him. Who is He seeking? Those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. So remember that. Those things, that's a combination, in spirit and in truth. And the only way you can do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we want you to keep that in mind. Now, what I'd like to do is I'm going to give you, we're going to go down to that Luke, that 30 slide, go straight to 30. Well, I just wanted to give that, there you go. Luke 17:26, again, he said, just as it happened in the days of Noah, as the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. So we have something here. How many know you got to trust the words of Jesus? If you're going to trust any words, you got to trust the words of Jesus. What started this whole thing was me going back through my Bible, and I was studying everything Jesus said. Everything Jesus said. I figured that was, I kept praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what is it? There's something that we're missing. We're missing something. And so, what do you do when you feel like you're missing something? How many of you ever got something that you ordered in the mail, and it came with a bunch of parts, and it had a list in there that told you how to put it together? Has anybody ever experienced that? Well, and you're going through it, maybe there's a lot of parts, and you're trying to make sure you follow everything, but then you run into a spot where stuff just, you get to where you're not going anywhere anymore. So what do you do? What do you do? You go back to the instructions. That's what you do. When you figure you can't, I don't know what I did, you go back and start at step one, two, and work your way through that so you can figure out what you need to do. That's what I begin to do. I took the word of God and I said, I want to hear everything Jesus had to say. Well, there were some things that were interesting to me. One of them was he said this. He says, in the last days, he says, there'll be those who come before him and they'll say, haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we prophesied? Haven't we healed the sick in your name? And yet he would say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I know you not. That was a shock to me, even though I've read it before. But I found out when I was reading it this time, he was talking to those who were actively participating in church functions. I said, well, that could be us. We're all actively participating in a church function. So what would stop us from hearing those words at the end when we're going to be given, we're going to be judged whether or not we spend eternity with God in his glory or where we're thrown into the lake of fire? I think that was a legitimate enough reason for me to dig deeper into that, to find out that if, because the way it works, if I get up here and I'm sharing something with you and I'm telling you something, you're gonna try to do what I'm asking you to do. So I don't want to lead anybody astray. Although I'm following Christ, and that's who you should be following. You shouldn't be following me. But in the position that I am, I have to take that into consideration because you trust the things that I say. So I said, well, I got to figure this out because I definitely don't want to go astray myself, and I definitely don't want to lead anybody else astray. So I began to study the words of Jesus. One of the things I came across was this, and just as it happened in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah. So I said, well, I got to know what's going on in the days of Noah. What's really going on? Well, for the most part, there's not a whole lot that we talk about in the days of Noah. Because what we talk about is the boat event. That's what we talk about, the boat event. Noah built a boat, put the animals two by two. Our kids can quote it. We teach them that. You know, we got the little, I can remember that when I was a kid, they'd cut out the little animals and here we go across our desk, you know. And they'd have the little ark and we'd put them in there. Noah's Ark. You can buy Noah's Ark rugs for the children's church. You can buy Noah's Ark, put together these games, toys that you can put together. It's a wonderful child story. That's about what it ends up being. Then you got some crazy clown up in Hollywood that produced a movie during the time of this called Noah's Ark. Well, he was absolutely out of his mind. He was insane because he didn't follow the Bible. You know, so what happens is in that movie, he completely turned it around to what it really is. But here's the dilemma. I knew that. I got to make sure you know that. So in that movie, he had what was called the Watchers. How many seen the movie anyway? Who went and seen it? All right. He had the Watchers in that movie. Well, he had the Watchers being the good guys. They were the good guys. They were helping build the ark. collecting animals and helping them defend the home base. Well, that's not true. Okay? And he had all the human beings being the bad guys. Well, so something like that comes up. I'm like, okay, now why would they produce a movie around the same time I'm studying this? And when I'm looking at it, and I clearly can see that what they done was to try to set a tone for people in their minds, because they're going to hit millions. I'm going to get a few here, but they're going to hit millions with a perception about the days of Noah. So now I can only bring you here and wherever else God sends me to talk about the days of Noah. So they set their tone. We got to set our tone. We got to make sure that we share what's really happened. So that's the goal here. Now, I gave a little bit to you last Thursday I was here, and then a little bit Sunday. And we covered a few things, but I can't cover it all. You can't cover it all in an hour or 2 hours when you've been studying this for nearly 3 years. Okay? I can't even begin to describe to you how much stuff going on in my head when I'm up here talking. But I got to submit to the Word of God. I submit to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to speak that which needs to be said. Matthew 10:26 says, "Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known." Well, the devil's in trouble with that one verse. Are y'all hearing me? He's in trouble with that one verse right there. Now, I don't think I showed you this verse. That's why I had Sister Melena go back and start, because when I was gone, the Lord began to give me these verses of Scripture. That I went back, I'm going over my notes. I don't know how many tablets. My wife said, "Baby, are you going to take another tablet? Are you going to take another tablet?" I had tablets in the bedroom. I had tablets down at the Cajun. I had a tablet in my truck. I had a tablet everywhere. I had tablets because when it comes down, I just write it down. I didn't know what it was for, but I figured I'd go back to it at a later time. And I'd revisit those things so I can see that the Lord dealt with me. Well, this is one of the verses. And this verse is a powerful verse because the devil thinks he can hide everything. That's what he tries to do. And that's what he's a master at, trying to hide and conceal. When a symbol, how many know symbols are something that you can't take lightly? Symbols, I like that symbol. Well, you know, folks like it because it looks good, but they have no idea what it says, what it's saying. Symbols do two things. Two things they do. Symbols reveal and conceal. So you got to keep that in mind. Symbols, wherever they are, they all over the world, symbols reveal something and conceal something. And you got to be careful that you're not in a playing way dealing with these symbols where you think, well, it don't, to me it don't mean that. It don't matter what it means to you. You understand? What it matters is the person who sees you with the symbol, what it means to them. Because that's the message you're preaching. You may never talk to them. You might not even know their name. But if you represent that symbol to them, you just preach the gospel to them. It's what you believe. And you're not even saying anything. That's why you got to be careful how you associate with things that are not God. That's why you got to go back through the Word of God. And you got to find out. So I'm going to deal with symbols as we go through this. Here's one of the things I'm going to deal with I didn't talk to you about. It's transhumanism. Transhumanism. Now, there's, again, I'm going to give you this warning. Let me give a disclaimer for you again, and this warning. The internet is a two-edged sword. As much help as you can get from it is as much harm as you can gain from it. You got to pray and seek God. You got to ask God for wisdom and understanding and to cancel out everything that could cause you to go astray. If you can't pray and do that, then you need not be on it. You got to cover yourself and pray. The Holy Ghost will give you power to know what's right and what's wrong, because it's so full of stuff, you won't know. You won't have no idea, and it'll take you down a rabbit trail so far, it'd be hard for you to find your way back. So the internet, it's a highway of information. It's a two-edged sword. It can hurt you, and it can help you. And so you got to keep that in mind. Transhumanism is, you can look it up. Wikipedia gives their definition. Look it up at Wikipedia. That's where you start. If you want to know something, you'll go to Wikipedia and you look at the definition. A lot of times, they'll just tell on themselves. They ain't hiding a whole bunch. If it seems like it's not really saying anything, you might have to dig a little further. But you can pull it up, and it talks about what their goal is. Transhumanism's goal is to scientifically, on their own power, create a perfect species with no sickness, no disease, nothing that can hurt them. That's what their goal is. That's what they're after. And they're doing it wide open. Listen, here's the thing. You remember we went through this, let's get our mind right here, just a month ago, or maybe just 3 weeks ago. Well, I was here and I told folks, you got to get your mind right. Make your mind up. While we're having infighting and sowing discord amongst each other, the world's involved in this, and you have no idea what's happening, and it's just like the days of Noah. And I'm going to explain that to you in more detail so you can start wrapping your mind around it, okay? Again, this is just high points. I can't talk about it in full, but we'll come back and visit it at a later time. I want you to see Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. It says, "Why are the nations so angry?" Now this is in the Old Testament. This is Psalms 2. This is prophecy for the time that we're in right now. This is a prophetic word for the end time. Psalms chapter 2. Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. That's what it's all about. We don't want Yahweh, and we don't want the Messiah. We don't want neither one of them, because they are the original. They're the original. It all started with them, and they're the original. We don't want that. We want our own thing. And that's what that enemy does. He tries to do his own thing. Well, watch verse 3. He said, "Let us break their chains," they cry, "and free ourselves from..." This is what they say. "Let us break our chains," they cry, "and free ourselves from slavery to God." Listen, hopefully you have to notice that we live in a society that's against God. Anti-God. Listen, if we can just take God out of everything, we'd be happy. We don't want God in nothing. We don't mind others. You notice nobody pitches fits about any other thing that people talk about. But don't bring God up. Listen, I had a preacher tell me one time. I said, "Well, you know, we need to sit down and look at the..." "Don't put God in it." I went, "You're kidding me. Are you hearing what I said?" "Well, do what?" He said, "Don't bring God in it." Well, who are we supposed to bring in it? If we got to settle the issue, how do we not do it with God? You see, it's even happening in the church. We don't want God in the church. We don't want God in anything. "Let us break our chains," they cry, "and free ourselves from slavery to God." But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He says, They have no idea. Well, the church, you're either going to have no idea or you're going to know exactly what God wants you to know. How many want to know? Because if you don't know, I'm going to tell you this. You won't be in the ark when it happens. And if you're not in the ark, it's finished. As the days of Noah, it'll be the same way. If you're not in the ark, so you got to know when to get in, right? You got to start living your life the way God wants you to live it. And we're going to see what the way Noah lived his. But let's take a look at it again. Let me break this down for you again so everybody's clear on this. And I know you might say, well, you gave us some of these verses Sunday. Listen, you're going to hear this over and over maybe. God, I'm just looking at you and I can tell you didn't get all of this. So I want you to see clearly what's happening. Let's look at it. Genesis 6, and I'm going to read it from the Authorized King James. See that? Authorized King James Version. Now that would be 1611. Write that on your notes. That's the version that King James and his guys put together in 1611. All right? 1611. So you'll know how far back that was. So I'm reading from that translation, the 1611. Now, I mean, you've ever seen the King James Version? That's an updated one. That's a revised. This is the Authorized. Got the A in front of it. Authorized King. That comes from that very book that they wrote. So I'm just going to read it from there. And it's not a big difference, but to me, I want to read it from the one they wrote. Okay? And it came to pass, Genesis chapter 6, because we got to know about the days of Noah, right? When men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and that they took them wives of all which they chose. So I want you to notice that. I highlighted the sons of God. That's in the original language, B'nai Ha Elohim. B'nai Ha Elohim. So keep that in mind. Now, there's a lot of different ideas about the sons of God here. Some said, this is the sons of Seth who took the daughters of Cain. So when I noticed that these are different ideas about how to translate this, then you got to go and study each one of them. And there's a process of elimination that you got to go through to eliminate these ideas. They're either going to hold true to the Word of God or they're going to fall apart. So when you say, well, these are the sons of Seth, which are the good, they represent the good. And then the daughters of Cain represent the men. Well, this stuff starts falling apart, right? It just crumbles apart. You say, what are they talking about? Men, because we're talking about human beings, so we got human beings, sinners and saints, having children, and God says, you know what? I'm just going to destroy the whole thing and start over. Well, I don't think we'd have created a problem. That wouldn't have been a problem because we can fix that with a Savior. Are y'all here? If we're just dealing with human beings, we can fix that with a Savior, and He's coming. But we're not just dealing with human beings. When the sons of God here, B'nai Ha Elohim, we're dealing with something else. And I want you to see that clearly. I want you to know it so you can find and teach others. Because let me tell you, the time is going to be very short, and you're going to have to be able to teach others. If you love them, you're going to get on the phone, you're going to call them, visit them, and you're going to beg them to come to church with you. Because you don't, how many want to see, listen, when you start piling in the ark, how many know you want to bring your family with you? Well, I hope you do. If you don't, then maybe we need to pray for you tonight. And the Lord said, verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. That doesn't mean he's going to live 120 years. That's the length of time God set that he's going to bring the flood, 120. So keep that in mind. Some want to take that and say, well, that's when God reduced the age from they were living a long time, and then that doesn't stand up to when you go and study the scripture. Then it goes here and says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Now, I want you to think about this. When I read Genesis 6, you got to understand that everything that he says is critical. Now, this is the authorized version, all right? Now, there's a few issues with the authorized version, and I'm going to give you some, I'm just going to give you some stuff to think about. You can go check out everything I'm saying. Pray, seek the Lord, pray in the Spirit, walk before God, weep before Him, fall on your face before God. You're going to be able to tell because everything that you've been doing, you don't mind going to do that, but it ain't number one on your list. What's number one is your intimacy with God, falling on His face. That's what you want. You do the other stuff because we're supposed to work and continue doing that until He comes. But you, it's not number one. Your passion will change when you start seeking the face of God. Then go check out this stuff. That way you can get a clear understanding. So I want to go back and give you this third verse, right? And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for his days are 120. Verse 4. Key verse. Write it down. Put an asterisk by it. Underline the whole verse if you're writing your Bible. Because it says, and they were giants in the earth in those days. Didn't he say that? Well, that's a bad translation. All right? They were giants in the earth in those days. That's what the King James guys decided, that they were going to change. The original word there is the Nephilim. The Nephilim were in the earth in those days. Now, there's a reason we got to understand it as the Nephilim, because we got to do the word study on that word. Now, if I see Nephilim there, I'm going to have more of a tendency with my understanding of Scripture to stop and investigate that. What is the Nephilim? But if I see giants because of my not understanding of the text, I'm going to think David's giant. They got giants. We killed them. It's all over with. Let's go home and do something else. And that's kind of the approach the church has taken. And so when Jesus brings up this term as the days of Noah, okay, as the days of Noah, they were evil people. We got evil people. Boom. That's the end of that. They had evil. We had evil. But it's more than evil. It's more than just sinners. They got sinners, we got sinners. And that's what people think all their lives. They're going to church and they think, well, that's how it's going to be. And it's so far from the truth, it's not even funny. Because of this issue right here. Now, let me talk about this giant. I believe, let me give you my idea, my theory on how I believe it got there. In 1611, this thing went to print. There was a guy by the name of Francis Bacon who was a Luciferian, a Rosicrucian, and a Freemason. And he was a big player in how the 13 colonies were set up in America. And I'm one of these nights I can go through the whole thing with you and we can give you some detail. Again, that's a topic we got to go and focus on it so I can give you all that information. But my reason for bringing him up is because he took the manuscript that was translated and it was given to him in his possession for 1 year. Now, I have an issue with that simply because he's a Luciferian. What in the world a Luciferian wants to do with the Bible besides change little things? Not big things, little things. You change a little word, just a little bit. And he was a master at literature. His works, his writings are, people just say they're awed at his literature today. Absolutely incredible at writing. And I believe he had something to do with changing some of these things throughout the King James Bible. I think he added things and he changed things. And so that's a danger. Again, that's my idea. You can go check it out for yourself. And that's not based upon just this one word. It's based upon studying him for over 1 year. Everything, all his writings, his whole history, where he was born, who his mom and daddy was, everything. You understand? So I want you to think of his travels to America, his involvement in the building of the 13 colonies. Every building that's built has to be positioned in a certain way. He was the guy that was in charge of that stuff. He was a master mason. And the Masons are absolutely, if you got family that are Masons, or if you're a Mason here, I want you to know you need to get, repent, and get out. I don't know how it's most simple to tell you that. You said, but they're my friends. Well, you can either have God as your friend or them. Because the one that's going to rescue in the end will be God, and I can tell you the rest won't be there. And I studied it extensively, so nobody can come try to pull on me. Well, they're a charitable group. A charity? Charity, serious. You know, some of them I studied, they claim charity is giving $100 a year to a family to buy groceries for the whole year so they can call themselves charity. They're no charity. And most of the people that's in it don't have no idea what they're in. I want to say that. Most of the people in it don't have no idea what they're in. But guess what? You can be following something and get led astray. The burden is upon the person who goes and bows down at another altar on one knee and makes a promise like you're swearing to God. I would have to question. Okay, they said, well, promise this. Well, for what? And then if you ask the question, who you put your most trust in, you better not say Jesus Christ because you are hit the door, son. So I got a problem with that, right? So they worship the light. They believe that they're going to get the light. They're going to be illuminated with information, hence the Freemason or Master Mason. We're going to get all the insight. Well, guess what Francis Bacon, how he got his insight? He was a sodomite. And so that's how he gained all his insight. This man talked about things that he could have never knew about unless he was gaining that from some other being. Not a human being, some other being. Well, that doesn't make sense because who are those beings? We got to know where they come from. Do we really have aliens? The UFOs coming down from planet wherever? Well, I'm going to show you in the Bible where you get that information from. How's about that? So why don't we go back? We'll go, I think I put it in the, where it's translated Nephilim. I think I have it here. Now, it came about, Genesis 6, when men began to multiply on the face of the land, the daughters were born to them. The sons of God, again, keep that in mind, sons of God, Bnei HaElohim, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and that they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. The sons of God, I put it up there, I got a little slide there, Bnei Ha Elohim. It means angels. All right? Let's deal with that. Because some people say, well, that the sons of God were human beings. They never were called, humans were never called the sons of God. Adam's a son of God. Jesus is a son of God. And we can be sons of God if we're led by the Spirit. But not then. So who's talking about then? I'm going to show you in the scripture that he's talking about angels. Everybody say angels. Job 1 verse 6. Now there were in the days... There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. So notice that. So we have the sons of God and Satan. Why does Satan have to come? See, that joke is everywhere. Every time God's trying to have a service, he shows up. He's got to. Remember, who's in charge? God's in charge, so Satan came among them. He was there also because he's an angel. Right? So when God says, okay, it's time, we have an angel roll call. Can he say, I'm not going? Well, no, he can't say he's not going. He knows he's got to be there. So we're not dealing with, when we say sons of God, we're not dealing with human beings. We're dealing with angels. And I got to substantiate that through the scripture. Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And again, that there, again, it means the angels. Job 38, verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. They were all there when God's creating the universe. So when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, there were no humans suspended out and floating in the particles of the universe when that was going on. Well, who's the sons of God there? Angels. All right. So I think that's clear. I think it's clear in the scripture. Now, you can take your time, go back and look at that and check that out for yourself. Now, when it talks about daughters of men, what is he dealing with? Daughters of men. And I want you to see that. Benoth, Adam, equals daughters of Adam. Daughters of Adam. So we have human beings, human women, and we have Bnei HaElohim, sons of God. And they took them to be wives. And then what is brought up right away, is, well, that's impossible. The reason it's impossible is because Jesus said that when you're in heaven, that will be just like the angels. There'll be no marriage nor giving in marriage, right? I'm all with that. But he's talking about angels where? In heaven, not fallen angels. Do fallen angels obey God at all? Well, no. They're not going to obey God. He said, so could they? Well, obviously, there was something that they did. They knew about the creation of God. They were there present when he created. They knew about all. So there was something that they schemed up. They came up with a plot. Why don't we just do our own thing? Why don't we create our own race? And if we do that in the process of creating our own race, we can destroy the race that he said, her seed. We can destroy her seed, and all we got is his seed, meaning Satan, and that's all we want. We don't need anything else in the universe. Therefore, we eliminate God. He gets cast out of his own house, and we're going to go on and just have a happy satanic party. Wonderful. Well, you got to understand, you can think about all those things, but you got God to deal with. You got the Almighty to deal with. The Most High God to deal with. You got his glory to deal with. And that's what they were up against. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days will be 120 years. Verse 4, the Nephilim. See that version, that's the NSAB. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. When the sons of God came to the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Who's them there? The Nephilim, they bore children. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now, of old, I want you to go back and think about in your Bible and read all the way to the days of Jared. The days of Jared. Now, this is important that you understand that because he said they were the mighty men. They were the mighty men who were of old. So they weren't just showing up. They've been on the earth for quite some time. And everything that I've got my hands on that we can substantiate this, it was the days of Jared, which was 1,296 years to Noah. So they were on earth for a long time. How many of you know you can get a lot accomplished if your brain and your intellect is superior to the human brain and intellect in 1,296 years. How many would say that's a possibility? Let me give you an example. We took this America that was already had a lot of people on it, booted them out, the ones we couldn't kill, right? And we took it over and look at America today. And how long it took us to do that? With human beings. How many? Less than 300 years? What you think about a much superior, bigger brains, was in the very presence of Almighty God, and you got 1,296 years, what you think you can accomplish? I'm just saying. So you got to get your head out of the History Channel. Get your head out of CNN, Fox, and all the rest of them news channels and get your head in the Bible, and you got to get your mind right, because if your mind ain't right, he'll come and you will be caught up with the rest of the sheeple doing exactly what they want you to do because you don't realize that this planet was, if you listen, everything that they had then, you hadn't been showed yet. Y'all got that? Everything that they had then, I'm talking about in the days of Jared to Noah, in the first six chapters of the Bible. You know, we at chapter six, we think, well, you know, can't nothing be going on. Them guys are like, they're primitive. They're running around with clubs and, you know, they knocking their food down. Bah! You know, holding it over a fire. That's what people think. Because we watch too much of the junk. I want you to know these people were much more advanced than anything you ever seen on this planet. Much more advanced. And so Francis Bacon, he was told that information by a fallen angel who he was having intimacy with. Now that's man and man. Just get wrap your mind around that. But that's how they transferred the information. And I can go on and just tell you how many of the men that we hold in high esteem as founding fathers who were nothing but sodomites. Because that's the way they did it. When the, I might just go all over the place. Let me see what my next slide is. My head is so, the Nephilim, let me give you that. The Nephilim. The fallen ones, that's what it means, the fallen ones. Nephal means to fall, be cast down, to fall away, desert. Do you see that? That's what it means, to fall. Now, I think it would have been much better to leave the Nephilim there. It intrigues the mind. You begin to research the scripture, but the giant, the little change. Now, where did the giants come from? They came from, that was the offspring of the fallen ones and the human being. The woman, they would have offspring, that would be the giants. They were superior. They were bigger. They were stronger. They were faster. They were smarter than the human beings. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says that he made us a little lower than the angels. Just a little lower than the angels. That means they're here and we're here. Is it going to stay like that? Not at all. That's why you got to read all the book. That's what gets me so happy about going to church. I want to give God glory and praise because he tells me the whole story. I don't have to be pushed down and suppressed by this the attitude of the enemy because we have power, right? Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so we got to keep that in mind. And you see, Ha Giborim means the mighty ones. And I wish I don't have time to go over all of that with you, but the Septuagint takes that same word for the mighty ones and it starts to bring in the giants. So they were the mighty ones. They were the mighty ones. Men so they were having children from the days of Noah, Jared, all the way to Noah. Massive amount of people. The planet is inhabited. And I want you to understand this. Think about it. The continents that we know and we think, it wasn't always like that. Wasn't always like that. There's something made that happen. Wasn't when God stepped out of his timeless existence in the time. He said, let there be light. It's not then. It's an event. Something that happens, and I'm going to be able to spend some more time on that as we go through this lesson. But these are some of the things that I wanted you to see, and I want to point out this. Go to slide 48, I think it is. 48, there we go. Genesis 6:9. Let me go here, and then I'm going to go and talk about some other things. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. And perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Now, that word perfect is important there, right? Let's look at it. Perfect means without blemish. Without blemish. Sound. healthful, without spot, unimpaired. So what was the fallen angels doing when they would take the daughters of men? They were genetically altering the offspring. So were they perfect after that? No, they were with blemish. They were not sound. They were not helpful. Do you see that? They had spot and they had all of this genetic alteration. Now, what's the whole point in transhumanism? Transhumanism is to create, through genetic tampering, a breed of people that God didn't create. So, let me tell you how evil human beings can be. Do I believe they're going to be fallen angels before Christ comes back that can take the daughters of men again and do what they did in the days of Noah? Probably so. I would have to say yes on that question. You see why you need the Holy Ghost? But I also believe that they will empower those through the demonic sodomite spirit to fight with everything in them to try to create or genetically tamper on the fallen angels' behalf. And I believe they're going to do it through demons. Remember I gave you the difference between an angel and a demon. An angel has a body, can transform, it can be anything it wants to be. It's got that power. It's got that authority. It can transform. You can see it there and then it's gone. It transforms, disappears, and can be something else. Like the movies. Where do you think that come from? Think that just popped in our man's mind? It was given to him. These are real things. A demon has no body. Where did demons come from? Well, all those giants that were destroyed in the flood, their demons are released. They have no body. So they're looking to possess somebody. Come knock at your door, sleep in your bedroom. Well, what do you need? Well, the Bible says, I give you power over the serpent and the scorpion and over all the power of the enemy. That's what I read. So you say, you're in fear? Fear for what? Why would you fear when you have authority? You have power. And Jesus said this, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Isn't that amazing? You say, do I want it? Well, listen, do I want it? You better believe I want it. And that's as simple as that. Just receive it for yourself and then talk about it. And tell people about it and pursue it in God. When you pray, say, God, I thank you for that power. And then let happen whatever's going to happen. Okay? Very important. Listen, can you make it in the end time without it? Absolutely not. I'm going to just settle that for you so you won't try to think you can. If you're here today and you don't have the Holy Ghost power, you won't make it. You won't make it. You will give in. When they tell you, line up and get your food, but here's what you're going to do before you get it, you're going to do it because you have no power. You won't be able to say no. You're going to be sucked in with the rest of the crowd. But if you got the power of God, you'll resist everything the enemy said. The Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to the Lord. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So you got to submit to the Lord. If you don't submit, what is submitting to the Lord? Receiving power. Submit to what Jesus said. Go to Jerusalem and tarry there till you be endued with power. You got to submit to that. I'm going. Where are you going? I'm going to Jerusalem. Next, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, next time you come to church, you got to have your Jerusalem experience and tarry there till you be endued with power from on high. That's submitting to the Lord. If you don't submit, then you can't say, well, I didn't have an opportunity. You got an opportunity. And it don't have to be the next time. It can be when you get home. It don't have to be here. It can be in your car. It can be at your house. It can be wherever you want. You just submit to God and say, I want that power, Lord, and I receive it in Jesus' name by faith. Yeah. You got saved by faith. I don't know why we've got to keep using faith. You say, well, I didn't feel anything. Well, maybe you won't feel anything right now. But by faith you received it and you move on in God. And you thank Him for it every day and you let it happen, whatever it's going to be. Amen? How many want that? I do. I do. And I gotta constantly check myself to make sure that I'm still walking in that, because that's important. All right. I gave you some of these. I'm going to give some of these to you again. The Jude account. Jude chapter, you look at Judas, that first 6 and 7, verse 6 and 7. The angels who did not keep their own domain or habitation, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds in the darkness of the day of the day of the judgment of the great day. Notice that. They didn't keep their habitation. So we're talking about in the days of Noah, and we got in the cave in Qumran. You can go look that up, Qumran caves, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And in the Dead Sea Scrolls, there were many books, many, many books. And they found the entire Hebrew Bible with the exception of one book, and that was the book of Esther. It was an amazing find because it happened in the 1900s. Do you understand that? It was critical because everybody had started questioning whether or not we had a clear translation of the Old Testament. And it was amazing find. But in the Qumran caves, they also had the various, what people would call extra-biblical books. One of them being the Book of Enoch. Now, there's been a lot of debates on that book, whether we should use it or not. The Ethiopian Enoch 1, because there are three translations. You got to be careful. You going online, oh, I'm just going to read this one. It might be the wrong one. You remember, not everything on the internet is true. Right? I hope you figured that out already. So Enoch, Ethiopian, Enoch 1 was the one in the Qumran cave, and it starts spelling out some things. One of the things it talks about, in the days of Jared, 200 watchers, that's what they call them, fell, took the daughters of men, but it didn't stop there. You keep reading it. I've read it several times. And there was the Book of Giants, and they had the Apocryphes, and there was all sorts of books in there, the Maccabees and the Apocryphe. And you could go on and just read. There's so much material. But then again, you got to learn this one thing. You got to learn how to eat the hay and spit out the briars. Remember, I tell you this all the time. And how are you going to learn to do that? You got to be led by the Spirit of God. You got to have a sensitive mouth, and you got to have sensitivity by the Holy Spirit to know what you got to receive. Because the devil will try to push anything on you, he'll turn just one little slight turn and you'll buy into it. You got to be careful. And so it's with much study that I even bring it up. I'm just the Bible guy, right? I'm not going to bring in no extra biblical text, but the Book of Enoch I think is important for us to look at. One of the reasons I think it helps bring confirmation, and we have we have Jude quote from it. That was in Jesus, and Jude's Jesus' half-brother. So think about that. We have him quote from it. So I think we have something here that we can look at to help us understand some prophetic things when we're dealing with the days of Noah. 200 watchers. So what else did they do, these watchers? Well, in the Book of Enoch says they took 200 donkeys. They took 200 asses. They took 200 goats. You get my drift? Now, how many want me to explain what took means? Do I need to explain what took means? Well, they weren't patting them and feeding them hay in the barn. Do you understand that? So they took the women, it's the same thing. They took women as they chose. Did they take them on a date? No. And when they took the women, what happened? They bore children to them. They took the donkeys and the asses and the goats. Do you get my drift? They were evil. They were going to change everything God created. Think about it. Then they go to the vegetation and take the vegetation. You say, well, how can they do that? They were smarter. You say, well, we can't do that. Well, I hope you wouldn't want to try to do that. But I can tell you they're doing it in America today. Monsanto, look that up, write that in your notes. Monsanto's taking the trees right now. And they're genetically changing them, patenting it, and they're going to own all the vegetation, all the fruit, every seed in the world they'll own it. And if you're neither going to buy nor sell unless you bow to Monsanto. Do you understand that? This is where we're at. This is real. The animals are being altered. They can take a genetic gene. They can take stem cell research. They can put and they can let a mouse grow an ear on its back. They can take a little baby. The latest video, and I watch these videos because I gotta get mad. It's time to be mad. It's time to get angry and get the cord out and turn some tables over. And I watched it, and they took that baby and had it in the hand, bumped that, and heart started beating. Then they took the, they'll take the brains out, open it up, and they take the brains and then squish it up, fill a syringe, and insert it into a mouse so we can have a smarter mouse. 60 million babies are murdered since Roe versus Wade. Trying to kill God's creation off. 60 million. Selling body parts. How many of you ever seen those body parts laying on that table? See the body parts and they throw them in a can and the blood spatters on the wall. And they're talking about it like it's absolutely nothing. All in the research. It's all about research. We're for bettering humanity. We don't want God. We want to better ourselves without God. This is happening right as the days of Noah. So what did the fallen angels do? They did the same thing. They tampered with everything God created, and they created a genetic mutation. And God says, my spirit will not always strive with them. He said, I'm going to get rid of them. And that's why the flood came. That's why God put 8 souls on a boat. And then he destroyed everything else. That's why. That's why he took those spirits and put them into Taurus, as what he talks about in Peter. I can read those to you so you'll see it. Verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way, they as they indulged in gross immorality, went after strange flesh. Notice that. Or exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Let me tell you. There's no other, you can't put it in. We said, we got to love everybody. Listen to me careful. When somebody starts throwing, you got to love me. Repent from your evil ways, and then God will hear your repentance, and he will forgive your sins, and you'll be invited into the kingdom of God. Until then, you will face eternal punishment for being a sodomite. You have to repent. If anybody ever offered any assistance to any type of abortion, you got to repent from that, because that blood will be upon your hands when you stand before God. I believe what literally is going to happen, you'll begin to see the manifestation of all those babies. And there'll be some buried in babies. Baby parts and baby blood all over them. God won't let them forget it. Well, how you get? You got to repent. There are people who are repenting. There are people who are quitting their jobs, and I'm glad for it. They ought to, because they're coming to realize, I don't want to be involved in this. I also believe that there's people among us that's already been tampered with genetically, and they're not fully human. Could be some people you see on TV all the time. I believe that to be a fact. Technology's been around. You're 75 years behind on what you know in reality. 75 years of technology that you don't even know about. And you got to grab hold to these truths. Anytime they can take a corn, let me give you some example of what Monsanto does. They take the corn seed. They insert Roundup in it. The gene from Roundup. So you got, it's called Roundup Ready Corn. What that means? Ain't no weeds. You go look at those, just up there. You go look at those cornfields, Monsanto, look at those, Roundup Ready, got signs by the road. There's no weeds in that field. You understand? The bugs are coming. So what's happening to the bug population? Now the bugs are changing. Then they take a peach. They take a peach. Take a gene from a polar bear. Insert it into the peach so now it can withstand the cold weather, and you grow peaches in the north now where it snows. Well, that's all for man. That's good. That's all for mankind. You have no idea. Listen, quit being a sheeple. Quit doing that. If God wanted a polar bear gene in a peach, he'd have put it there to begin with. And if he wanted Roundup in the corn, he'd have put it there to begin with. You have no idea what that's doing in your body when you eat it. Do you understand? You think they care? No. Listen, let me tell you what the one world order is going to do. Immediately when they take over, they're going to depopulate. They believe that the magic number is 500 million people on the planet. I want to know what they're going to do with the 6.5 billion people. Do you get my drift? If you ain't in the 500 million, do you understand that? And the only way you get in that is if you bow. Well, let me tell you what you should do. You got to get a little Holy Ghost power like Daniel had, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, and when they say bow, you say, I ain't bowing to nobody. We're going to put you in a den of lions. Go ahead. We're going to put you in a fire. Doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. That's if you don't have that attitude, you can't get that attitude without the Holy Ghost. You ain't going to get that. Listen, without the Holy Ghost, the problem people don't, they debate, well, I don't know if I'm going to church today. They're still trying to figure that out. Are you kidding me? You got to figure out what side you on. You want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You want to be on God's team, the winning team. You got to get past all that. That's child's play. Listen, we've been in church way too long. And we definitely want to teach anybody who's just coming that we can just lounge around and hang out. It's not a hangout place. If you're going to come here on a Thursday, I'm going to teach you something so you're better equipped and prepared when the nonsense gets fed to you. And that's what it is. It's a bunch of nonsense. And if you don't protect your kids, they'll take your kids. They're not taking them to make them a better person. It's to change them, alter them. It's going to come a time. Listen, it's already here. You cannot name your children. It's coming soon. You mark my words. You cannot name your children on their birth certificate. I know you're the mama, but that don't matter. You might be the daddy, but you hush and shut up. We're in charge. You got to let them decide whether they're a boy or girl later on in life, and then we'll name them. That's coming. It's already been written out. It's been approved by Congress. And it's coming down the pipe. And that way we all just go, well, I don't know what church to really go to. It's absolutely ridiculous. You want to get born again, God will tell you where to go. There's a lot of people drive up and down this highway. They really want God, but they won't come sit there behind in these chairs and be taught anything. And you know them and I know them. Where they should be is here. Because they'll get taught something that's real and that's going to keep their lives when all this stuff starts happening. They'll be kept from all this stuff. Because God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Greater is he that's in us. And we're going to be fine when all this stuff's going on because we're going to have more power to deal with it. Does it mean we won't go through hardship? We'll probably go through some hardship. Does it mean that some won't lose their life? We might lose our life, but that's okay. My journey ended. That's good. It doesn't matter. But we're going to have a peace about it. 1,000 can fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. Do you understand that? We're going to understand the things of God. And that's what God wants for us. Amen? Let's see here. Second Peter, that's 55. because I wanted to get a little further than this, but I don't guess I am. 2 Peter 2, 4 and 5. For if God did not spare the angels that sinned, what angels? What is he talking about here? What angels? But cast them into Tartarus. That word hell, they should have put this as prison or below hell. Because if you notice in the King James, he uses the word hell for three different words. We got to pick one. That's what we need to tell the scholars. Pick one. Which one are you using for hell? Pick it. Because you said Graves hell, Tartarus is hell, and Hades is hell. Pick one. But they use hell for the same word. We're all separate things and mean separate things. And when you read them in the context, they can get people to wander off and they won't realize what God's talking about. Tartarus here is something that we have to understand about Tartarus. It's the Greek term for the dark abode of woe, pit of darkness in the unseen world. And so keep that in mind. So it's below that. It's a prison. And they're held in chains, says. Peter said he held them in chains. So they're there. Now, who are they? That's the 200 watchers that originally came in the days of Jared and for 1,296 years was on this planet, and they wreaked havoc and they destroyed humanity. Only eight out of all the people alive, eight people lived that were perfect, kept themselves from being genetically mutated by these fallen angels. So they're held in chains. So here we go. So, all right, so they're held in chains. So how does it say they were here in those days and also afterward? Because they're in chains. So did they get out? I don't think so. I don't think they got out. So how'd they work continue to go on? Well, there's two possibilities. More came. Right? More came. That's a very possible scenario. And the demons that were their children began to possess human beings again and continued on the work. Because they disembodied. Once they died, they were disembodied spirits. The giants. Because remember, it's not something God created. It was from an angel and a human being. And I noticed this stuff tough to wrap your mind around, but this is real. This stuff is real. So why are we having it now? There could be a reason we're having it right now. Makes us all look at Thursday night. There was four Thursday nights ago, I couldn't put everybody on the front bench. Because we're busy. We got stuff to do. It's not a big deal. Well, let me tell you, it's a big deal because you got to figure out whether you're going to make it or not. You want to make it? You think we've been just playing church? You think I've been coming here for nearly 30 years and just playing church? This is real stuff. It's real. And you see, listen, let me tell you about our young people. Our young people, we need to make sure that we don't limit our young people about how much fire God they can have in the Holy Ghost. I'm reading stories in my research of 6 and 7 year old girls that they're calling in to pray. Because the demons are bothering adults. And they'll pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Boom! Yeah. 6 and 7 year olds, because they got authority. Somebody done taught them right. And they figured it out. And they just pray. They're calling them in to pray. They're joining the intercessor team. We ought to have an adult intercessor team and a young person's intercessor team. You don't have to be some certain age before you can intercede. Right. If you can teach people the word of God, you can be intercessors. And we need to intercede. Listen, y'all better be praying for me because I'm out there. I'm on a limb. I'm on a limb. I'm saying stuff that I can go to jail for in your country that we live in. I can go to jail for some of the stuff I said tonight. And I don't think we realize that. We live in a country that I broke the law a couple times tonight, maybe more than twice. Broke the law is a law written. Well, I can serve time. That's a shame, right? Yes. You can't tell the truth. It's going to be a time where preaching the word of God or talking about being a Christian is going to be a crime. But you can talk about anything else. And that's something that we have to be careful about. Let's see. I have all this stuff. I read y'all the Pawnee story. You don't need to hear that one again. Let me read this little thing about the super mice. So this will help you. This is April 30th, 1997. Genetic discovery. Scientists at Johns Hopkins University have discovered a gene in mice which controls growth. Growth differentiation factor 8, GDF8. Disrupting GDF8 yields super mice, 3 times larger and much stronger. So they can go in and tamper with just one gene. So that's what they're doing right now in these laboratories all over the country and around the world. They're genetically altering stuff that will be scary to you. Yeah. All right? It's happening. While we're sitting here, it's happening. And so there's a lot of things that's already in place. We have super soldiers on the planet right now. Super soldiers. While the rest of the guys is riding around with these things on their face so they can see at night, they don't need them. You understand? There's a lot of things going on in our country. But a lot of people's been asking about this September deal. I bet you that was one of the questions. Just saying. This September 23rd coming up. July 2015, September 23rd. There's some things, because everything seems to be convergence going on in September 23rd. It's been talked about for a long time. It's not something that, but nobody paid attention to it, you see. You know when we pay attention? When it's a month away. That's what we do. You know, you can tell somebody a year from now, this is what we're doing. You know when we pay attention? When it's 2 weeks out. Well, you had a year. We told you a year ago. And that happens a lot in this church. We can tell you a year from next year. That's what we're doing next year. And 2 weeks out. Well, when is those dates? You didn't even think about it. You got a whole year. That's what we do. And that's how this stuff will crawl up on you. And you wonder, I didn't know that was going on. Well, September 23rd, 2015 ain't just creeping up. Now it's here. And everybody's worried. What can happen? Well, let me just tell you, a lot of things can happen, just like a lot of things could happen today and tomorrow and next year. A lot of things. But let me tell you what you need to do. Get close to God. Close. Especially close. Till we get through this time period. And when we do, what's going to happen? We're going to let an exhale out. And we're going to go back to being sheeple. Because we got a whole nother year till the next September runs around. Is that what you're going to do? Because if that's what you're going to do, it don't even pay for me to talk about September 23rd. Because you're not interested. You just want information so you feel better, to sleep better tonight, so you know what to do. When the reality is there's going to be something happen. That's a reality. What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's going to happen. We've been knowing that. Just like Jesus is going to return. When is he going to return? Well, I don't know. But he's going to return. Then he does tell us something. He gives us, remember when I was studying the things Jesus said. He said it'll be as a thief in the night. And the church just says, okay. No, but he keeps going there. But to us, we know. He said, you know if the thief's coming, because I'm telling you he's coming, you wait for him. See, the world, he's coming as a thief to those, but they won't know. But to you, you know. So if I know, what I'm supposed to know? What is it I'm really supposed to know? What's in the Word of God? What we're supposed to know. And one of the things we're supposed to know, that we have the fall feast. The fall feast. That's coming. We're going to have Yom Terah. That's coming. That's on the 5th somewhere around the 15th. I mean, these don't hold me to these dates because I don't have any notes on it. So I'm just giving to you based off my memory. Then we're going to have Yom Kippur. And then we're going to have the Tabernacles. And that's going to, which people would call the Sukkot. Okay? Now that's going to go for 7 days, and then there's an eighth day. And then that'll end. We'll start another cycle. It'll come back around, and we'll start our feast again. Feast days. Now, these feasts are to the Lord. People call them Jewish feasts, but he said they're my feast. There's a difference between a Jewish feast and a feast that God says they're my feast. Now, I gave you the teaching already in the book of Genesis when he said he gave these things for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. And I use that word seasons. There's moedim. It's the word moedim in the original language. And it means appointments. Appointments. Remember, I gave that teaching to you. Well, when you read seasons in the King James, right? Translation should have been appointments, but it put seasons. What does it tell you? Four seasons, right? You leave it alone, you move on. Hey, I'm done with that. I got my four. That's what he's talking about. He gave all that stuff for the four seasons. So we have good weather and we have sort of bad weather, whatever. He's not talking about weather at all. He's not talking about seasons like you think. That's my issue with the King James. That could have been one little change there. Why didn't it be put what it means if it says moedim and it means appointment? Why wouldn't he put appointment? If I see appointment there, these are for appointments. Okay, I'm going to stop right here in camp, just like Nephilim. Let me give you one more. Go to in your Bible. Let me give you one more to help you. In the book of Genesis, all the way at the front. Let me see if I could do this one. All right. I'm going to read it from this. I don't have the King James Bible, but I will read it from my NSAB. All right. Ho! I'm going to have to close one eye to read this. I got it. In the beginning, you know, even if I can't read it, I know it, so I'm in good shape, didn't you? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let me see that. Now watch this, verse 2. Notice that word, and? That's not correct. Okay? And I don't have time to go through all the scripture to show you that, but it should be but there. Now, the translator could choose between and but. What he feels like flows with the previous verse. I'm going to read it like it should be. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, but the earth was, that word was could be became. All right, now I'm going to read it like it sets in the scripture. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, but the earth became, and it says without form here, the earth became formless, but the earth became formless. Do you notice now all of a sudden this whole text is taking on a whole different meaning for me as one who studies the scripture? Now, I'm pointing that out to you because you can pass up some amazing information right at the beginning that could set your tone of studying and understanding of Scripture. So he says, but the earth became formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, if I leave it in its setting, I'm going to read it like it's setting. Okay, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What do you think about that word darkness there, and what do you think about deep there? Is everything changes from using and instead of but, and was instead of became. That's critical in the study of the Bible. Critical! Because getting a hold of darkness there and deep, you're just going to pass it up and say, okay, move on to verse 3. But that's important right there. And I just pointed that out just for you to take some time to look at it. Because, and like you need more to look at, right? But I can tell you, darkness there, is not because there was no light. It wasn't because there was no light. What's the title of this series? Power over darkness. Depth there is not the sea. It's not the sea. That's what we think, though. You see? So our minds automatically train as we read the text. That's why you have to go back over it and you have to look at it and examine the scripture because it's important. Okay? I just threw that out for you to take some time for you to study on your own. Okay? All right. I think I'll stop right there because I'll have a couple of questions. And let me give Leviticus, just because this is important. Leviticus 20. Did I give y'all that? Did I ever give y'all Leviticus in Sunday's message? I think I stopped at Pawnee. Didn't I? Leviticus 20, verse 15 and 16. That's odd number 65. You want to take note of this. If there's a man who lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death. You shall also kill the animal. And if there's a woman who approaches any animal to mate with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. You think God is against what the angels did? Yeah, he's against it. There it is. You say, well, does that happen in the world? Well, absolutely it happens. Happens in the world. Well, if you think that's original, if it just happened because we live in an evil society, well, they were doing this in the days of Noah. In the days of Lot, they were doing this type of these things. And so I want you to just understand, we're not just talking about people sinning. We're talking about an evil where you're trying to change the whole plan of God to be something else. As the days of Noah, so shall the Son of Man, the second coming. And so I want to tell you, we are there. What has to happen in order for that to take place? In order for something to happen, what has to happen? Nothing. So if you think you got some time and days, you have none. Zero. You have none to make your mind up. You're either going to, when he comes, you're either going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Consumed, destroyed forever. And your history, gone. Like you never existed. Or you're going to be in eternity in the wonderful glory of the Almighty Most High. And how many know that that's going to go on and on and on? Listen, if you don't be fooled by the devil and his lies where he can give you immortality. You're going to get immortality when you rise again. And if you're alive, you're going to be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead shall be raised. Them which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So what's going to happen when that happens? You're going to leave from this little lower than the angels to a different status. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? You're not going to be here. Don't think there. If you follow Satan, that's all you can potentially ever get. You can be possessed and get here. You follow God, you get here. The angels are going to have to bow. They're going to have to be obedient to you. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heir of salvation? So how many want to obtain that spot? Right there with Christ. At the right hand of the Father. That's what God has for you. That's his plan. And you're going to have a whole new body. You're going to have all the smarts. Everything that the enemy's trying to offer you. You'll be able to do it all. Do you understand that? You say, well, they can transform. Well, you'll be able to. You'll be in good shape. Okay? All right, questions. Start in this section. This looks like a question answering, asking questions. Anybody have a question in this section? If I leave your section, I won't come back. I will, another teaching. Another Thursday. Because all right, this section. All right.
Okay, you mentioned
There was all sorts of books in that cage. I can't even list how many they were. Yep, I know that one. There's the book of Judas. There's the book of Jasher, the Maccabees, the Apocryphes, all that was in there. There was many, 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 many books. They had to go through them. They were just texts. They were not extra-biblical texts. They were just books. The way the canon, the way they had to canonize scripture, they did it with the church fathers from old. And these were rabbinical priests, and they had to mull over it to make sure that everything flowed with the whole text was flowing. So the way stuff was not allowed in it is when they find something that they couldn't. It could not be reasoned or brought to a clear understanding, so they had to remove it out. It couldn't be canonized. And so I took about 3 months of just studying how they canonized the scripture, how we know they were right. And it's all about taking the verses throughout the scripture, canon scripture, and what does it do to the entire story? And that's, if you insert any of these other books, that they, you find that their contradictions cannot be reasoned. You can't fix them. And say, well, what about contradictions in the Word today? If you take some time with the Scripture, just like I've taken some time, you can fix those. And if it's something that couldn't be fixed, believe me, they have already would have pointed it out. So God, I believe, by his anointing, allowed these men, just like he did when he spoke the words to Moses, and Moses spoke the words to those who wrote. I don't think Moses was the writer of those texts, but they were writers. That's the same way. I believe it was by the inspiration of God. Now, the book of Enoch was canonized at one time. So that's something that you have to take note of. It was taken out at a later time because it's just out there. I mean, it really is out there. But if you let its application apply to the day from Jared to Noah, it fits in a lot of spots there in that time. Fills in a lot of that gap. We have over 1,200, almost 1,300 years we got to fill in. We have no idea what went on except for that reading that. And there was again, keep this in mind. These were fragments. They were not entire books. There's no Enoch full book. Don't exist. They were fragments. Book of Giants, fragments. Lots of those books were fragments. And that's something that you have to make sure that you... So how did they deal with fragments is that they have to have multiple, and there were 200 caves, by the way, that were excavated after the Qumran cave was initially opened up by that young boy. There were 200 after that were excavated that had similar jars of clay with scrolls in them. So it wasn't just one cave. It was 200 after the first one that they discovered, because they didn't immediately brought in the people to start excavating, because they said, well, if there's one, let's try it to see what we can find. You know, there's no doubt in my mind there's a lot of stuff that's not been made public. The fact that there are giants that were in the land, we know we do have that information, that there were red-haired giants that lived here in America before Columbus. That's all a bunch. That's just a farce. It's nice writing, so everybody can buy it. We teach it in our schools, but it's a farce. It's no truth in that. He didn't discover America. America had been discovered. They didn't name America, and America was always America. So Amerigo Vespucci, whatever his name is, that guy's a joke. He's a joke. He didn't name America. He changed his name after he came to America. He changed his first name to Amerigo.
And everybody knows it. Everybody knows that's what he did. But nobody's going to say it, and they're not going to teach it. They leave it in the textbook only for those who want to research to find, but they're not going to teach that as history. They're going to teach Columbus discovered America, lottie, 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 and here we go. But they, North America, listen, this America was found nearly a thousand years, they knew. And before they got here, we got Egyptian stuff here. This has been people in this area. And it was always named the Americas, always, which means the land of the plume serpent. The land of the plume serpent, that's what it means. Now, when the Lord dealt with me about studying, you should power to tread on the serpents. When I started studying that verse of Scripture, and I started studying why the serpent, Lord, what's so significant? And I showed you the Mayans, the snake that makes the circle, comes back and bites its tail. What does that mean? It represents the God, the deity that they're going to serve, which is the brightness. It's the way you get information from. So it makes the star, or it's the brightness, it's the sun. It's where you get the light from. So Satan's known as what? The light. He's the guy that gives the information. What do you think the Freemasons worship? The light. What about the Rosicrucians? The light. What about the Illuminati? Ooh, I said Illuminati in church. Can't believe I did that. You know, because the moment you say that, they say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. They're all the same. They all put a little title. They all dealing with Freemasons, Masonic Lodge, worshiping the light. That's why the Eastern Star, the bright lights, and that's why they're all about worshiping the light, because that's where you're going to get illumination from. Illumination, so you got more brains and more power, because you're getting it from an entity that's a fallen entity who's given the information. And the way you get the information, you got to bend over. You got to get tired of that. Listen, you tired of bending over, you got to stand up straight. The Bible says, stand therefore and have your loins girded about with truth. Yeah. That's what we got to do. And that's what the church has to do. If we're going to make it in the end times, we got to get ready and prepare ourselves and quit giving in to the lies of the enemy, because it's a bunch of lies. And so I would say that if you're going to use what I would consider an extra biblical text, if you're going to use that, it has to be something that you can at least pull from the original text that it matches. So I quote Enoch, a couple of things I said about the book of Enoch is because I find Jude quotes it. We find that Paul quoted it. So we have these just little quotes of things they said. So obviously in their day, they were reading that literature. And we do know the book of Jasher, that was something they quoted. So there's something, you can research it. Just look up quotes in the Bible of extra-biblical text. That's a search. You search it, and you know, you have tons of information. And it'll show you the quotes in the Bible that comes from extra-biblical text that you can use. And so I'm sure that was stuff that was talked about, but when you look at it, your main thing is when you're dealing with salvation, that's why you have those things that's canonized. Okay? Any other question in this section?
When you're talking about the transhumanism, is that also, it's been a long time since they've been doing it, like pretty much like it's, let's say him and I were like, okay, we're going to have a kid, but kind of want it to have blue eyes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's possible right now.
I know it's possible, but that's part of the transhumanism.
Yep, that's because it's fanciful. It's something that you can help. You're part of the control and all of that. It's a designer children. You design them. You can have blue eyes, and all they do is take your DNA, his DNA, and they do their magic in the lab, and they can tell you what they're going to do. And it's stuff that's they've been doing that. Now they're just offering it. They've been doing that. Right. They've been doing it for a long time. What's that? Yeah, but you're not genetic. There's no genetic change.
Like if it's mom and dad.
There's no genetic change. That was, you know, You remember Ishmael? He came from a surrogate. Ishmael came from a surrogate. But you understand? But with the way God viewed it, it was still a human being. We're talking about changing the human genetics, the DNA, to have a mutation. That's the issue. That's what was going on in the days of Noah. That's what's going on today. It's to change the human species, because once you change, there is no coming back. There is no hope. You cannot repent from a genetic mutation. So you got to don't get involved in anything you pray about and say, God, lead and guide me. You cannot. And that's why I read the verse of Scripture. Noah was perfect. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was perfect, meaning he had no blemish, no spot. So that's important, because once that happens, you're changed. You're no longer, you're a creation of God and a creation of Satan. And that's why God doesn't want that. Now, in a spiritual realm, that we'll deal with that all the time, because we're sinners. And he said, you following your father, the devil. So he calls him our father. So in essence, in the spiritual realm, we're acting like children of the devil. Now, you can be forgiven of that. But when the genetic change takes place and it leaves from the spiritual realm and it goes into the natural realm where the blood is actually tampered with, that's an issue with God. And so that's something that you have to be careful in. All right. Any other question? Nobody else? This side? All right. What about this side? I'm more forgiving. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to understand the Catholic Church adopted the Christian faith when they saw that we can't even kill these people off. So we're going to go ahead and be Christian, but we're going to be in charge of the Christian faith. So to be in charge, they had to bring in other works to use to set the formation of how they were going to organize. It was going to be organized church. And that's why they did it. So, again, what they brought in and added to is not, I don't even consider it extra biblical text. I mean, it's just, I don't even know what it is, besides made up in somebody's mind. And so they... Yeah. I've looked in it. I've looked in it. Here's the thing that's alarming is you can make up any book you want. We can make one up. We'll just take a bunch of books and we'll make it up. The bottom line is you got to be willing to follow whatever you made up. You're going to follow it. You follow it, and you got to take the consequences of that. Well, when it comes to salvation, you got to be careful what you add or take away, because when it's a salvation issue, you can run into some serious trouble. So that's why he said in Deuteronomy, don't add or take away. Don't add or take away. So the way you do it, if you're reading an extra biblical text, what you use out those texts is not, if you use it and it changes or alters what the story of the scripture said, then that probably shouldn't be used. But if it doesn't alter it, but it supports what the scripture says, but it's just written at a later time. Because remember, these extra biblical texts are written at a much later time. The oldest version of the book of Enoch is, I forgot exactly what it is, but it's 300 to 400 years before Christ. So we have the Ethiopian now. The other two are written after. They're written after those two finds. And so they don't even match. They have no very little similarities in them. And I've read all three of those. Again, you read when you read or you research, if you're going to read the any Bible, the Book of Mormons is another example. Most people don't know that the Book of Mormons and the guy who came up with the Mormon Church was a Freemason. So, I mean, he was a Luciferian. You think that, and they still today perform some of the rituals that are performed. Now, they denounce Freemason now because they're a large organization. They can. But they still perform those same three duties that the Freemasons perform, and they're giving their praise to something that's out there, a deity out there. And that, well, it's false. It's an occult. You can't, God's not going to accept that. And so, you know, you have, but everybody's Christian. Every one of those are counted as a Christian. So if you had the numbers of Christians, you got to understand, everybody's counted in the Christian number. But that's when he's going to say, well, they're going to say, I prophesied in your name. I did this in your name. But he's going to separate all that. And if it's me, I'm not going to make it. He's going to separate me. So I don't get no free pass. There's no free pass. That's why we got to study the Word of God. So you won't get one, I won't get one, the Catholics won't get one, the Mormons won't get one, none of the witnesses won't get any, you can name them all, nobody's getting a free pass. At the end of the day, God's going to say, here's what the Word said, this is what you believe, and according to what you believe, you're not allowed in the kingdom. What I'm trying to do is make sure, being led by the Spirit of God, that He'll teach me and cancel out everything else and cut off all the excess baggage. And that way I'm walking in the light. And so that's what I'm trusting God on. I put my faith in the Word of God and in Him that I'm doing the right thing. And that you got to, because at the end of the day, if you're not doing the right thing, you don't make it. It'll be a sad day for a lot of people. So we better shape up. And if you see something, go study it. You find that I'm in error somewhere. Then you got to come to me and say, well, you know, I've come across this. It seems like we're in error to the scripture. And then we'll go back and have to fix that. That's important. I believe, let me tell you what I believe based on my research. Based on my research, let me just give you this. I told y'all about DUMBS, right? Did I bring up DUMBS? D-U-M-B-S, DUMBS, Deep Underground Military Bases, all right? You can go look at it. Pray, ask God to protect you. You're going to dive into some stuff.
That's right.
That'll give you the heebie-jeebies,
yeah.
All right? DUMBS, Deep Underground Military Bases, back in 96. There were 131 military bases up to 4 and 5 miles deep in the earth, fully inhabited, fully capable of survival. They were building two a year, so you add up the numbers to where we are now, kind of give you an idea where we are in the United States. Not all over the world, in 96, there were 1,400. All right? Now listen, they think they can outsmart God. You can't dig a hole deep enough to get away from God.
That's right.
Dig your hole. You think you invited in the hole? Not a chance. Not unless you come on our side and bow. I don't want to go in your hole.
That's it.
So dig your hole, do whatever you want. I don't want to be there. I believe in those things, based on my research, that they've been doing, because it's a different rules. There's no constitution. There's no laws except for the Luciferians, only the elite. So you can only imagine. Now, let me tell you how big these holes are. There's 3- and 4-story buildings in them. Now, I'm not talking about little hideaways. I'm talking about underground cities. There's transportation that can travel on 3/4 of an inch of air and travel at speeds of Mach 2. That's just to give you an idea, from Los Angeles to New York, we're talking about doing that in 1.5 hours. Completely vacuum sealed, high speed travel. Those things were designed and made for prisoners. Not the prisoners that's in the prison now. The potential sheeple who are going to control the society. You say, man, that stuff can't be real. Well, go and believe what you want. You ain't got to believe me. Go do your own study. I'm telling you, it's time that we wake up. Get the scales off your eyes and quit believing the nonsense you see in O'Reilly. And that, and the Mormon, what's his name? They took him off the TV. Glenn Beck. That, he's a Mormon. You going to believe a Mormon? Are you kidding me? Call himself a Christian. He ain't no Christian. Listen, they perform the duties. He performs the duties of a Freemason. That's what he does. And so this country is not founded upon the principles of God. George Washington was a Freemason. Thomas Jefferson was a Freemason. Benjamin Franklin was a Freemason. I can go over a list of all the presidents that were Freemasons. There are no principles of God. There's only enough Christian there to have a veneer. The true believers was those Puritans that got out and bowed their knee to the Most High God on the sands of the East Coast and said, we're going to serve God, and Him only we're going to serve. That's how you got the gospel. You got it because of those pilgrims, those who were faithful, not because of these founding fathers. They came here to create the new Atlantis. That's what they come here to create. You can read it in all of Francis Bacon's works. If you feel like you're going to read, believe me, you're going to read. You're going to put hours in. And you got to read it, and then you got to go try to verify if it's a bunch of fluff or not. And so these deep underground military bases have been performing. If you see this happen on the earth out here, the junk that's going on, you can't even imagine what's going on underneath the ground. So when people are going to bug out, they're going to bug out because they believe they got all the answers. You can't bug out and get away from God. People's going to bug out. I want to bug up. I want him to call my name. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to stick it out with God. I don't care what's going on around us. So if there's going to be tough times, absolutely. I mean, Revelation tells us it's going to be tough times. We shouldn't be. But that's why you can serve God now. Every person in this room, you can serve God. You say, well, my mama's not doing my dad. Don't matter what they do. You old enough. If you can hear and you hear my voice, you old enough. You serve God. You can serve Him all by yourself if that's what it takes. But you just tell Him when you kneel down at night, say, Lord, I love You, and I know You love me, and I know You'll protect me. But I can tell you there's a lot of evil stuff going on. And I believe that the Pope's visit is when? The 23rd and 24th. Right? The Pope's going to visit, and he's going to go before. Watch this. Never happened in the history of popes going before the Congress. Imagine that. I wonder who else will be there when he's there. Obama. There ain't no telling what kind of fireworks you're going to have with them two in one room. Nope, I done said something else to go to jail. Lock me up. Listen. I might as well go fishing if I ain't going to get in here and tell you the truth. It's time for us to wake up. We live in a society that's, listen, We're going to face one of the greatest economic crashes that this country's ever saw. It's no getting out of it. They can't do anything right now to back out of it. It's too late. The country's been broke for a couple years now. Probably since the late 90s, they've been absolutely broke, and they've been just printing money, kind of keep everybody. And I'm telling you, they're broke. They're bankrupt. Your money's not worth anything. I don't care how much you got. It's not worth nothing. He said, but I took some out the other day and bought gas. Help us, Lord.
Right.
They letting you buy your little gas and your bread, but it's not worth nothing. Listen, it's eventually going to go away. And when it goes away, we go, listen, people, you got to understand, some people put their whole life rested on that. They don't put any trust in God. And so when it's going to all go away, they're going to be shooting themselves. And so don't put your trust in all that. Pray. What do you do? Pray and ask God, what do I need to do? Get close to God. You got to make sure you're doing the right thing. Because right now, as I'm speaking to you, I'm telling you, there are demonic, mutated influences that are very much alive in the world right now. That's why we're in the days of Noah. And the Lord can come back, and he's going to come back, I believe, from all my study, he's going to come back during the fall feast days. That's the only ones that hadn't been fulfilled yet. He fulfilled everything else, but he hadn't fulfilled that one. I don't think he's going to come without fulfilling everything he promised. So the fall feast days have not been fulfilled. Okay? The only ones. He's going to come back during that time. When is that time? September, October. Sister Jerry? God's going to give us wisdom. He's going to give us the ability to not have to beg for bread. And if you got it, then you'll be able to use it as a tool. Listen, what did the last angel? He said, I saw the angel. And when the angel came, what was he had? He said he had the everlasting gospel. So that gospel's, listen, the gospel, I don't care what's going on, the gospel's still going to be preached, and God's going to let you, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I believe that, and so you'll be able to use that to spread the gospel, to be able to call, and you need to start doing it. Everybody here, you pray in the Holy Ghost, you start calling your grandkids, your children, call them in the kingdom of God. Them God, I call them in the kingdom. They'll not be lost. None of them be lost. I claim them. Every one of them I claim them somehow, some way. If it's the very last minute, God, you're going to save them. And that's what you got to do. You got to claim every one of them in the name of Jesus. And you never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. God will let you use that anointing to show them that. And they're going to say, I'm telling you, there are going to be a lot of people going to try to find Brother Jesse. And they're going to try to find Sister Jerry. They're going to try to find Brother Eddie. They're going to be looking for you. Steve, I know he was going to the church. Where he's going? Where he's at? Hey, brother, tell me. Tell me what's going on. And you're going to be able to share the gospel.
Yeah, I
believe it's everlasting gospel. Don't ever forget that. The angel was released. He said he had the everlasting gospel that he was preaching. They're going to be looking for you. They'll be looking for you. I know Josh was going to church. Where he's at?
Yeah.
Josh, man, what's going on? You're going to say, sit down.
Yeah.
You see the opportunity? Sit down. Let me tell you what's going on. When the collapse happens, the economic collapse happens, a lot of people are not going to know where to go. You're going to get on the phone. You got to call your family. You got to do whatever you can to let them know. That's why you got to take your stand now. Now, let me tell you what your problem is. If you never was a light when you could be light and be bright light, they might not come find you. Because there was no example before it happened. That's why we got to be examples now. Be an example to them. I can tell you, they'll be looking for Sister Jerry. They'll be saying, tell me the truth, and you'll be able to tell them, and they're going to be saved, all of them. They're going to come into the kingdom of God. But that's the grace of God. That's the goodness of God. And that's what God will do for you. So you got to hang in there. You got to trust the word of God and know that he'll protect you. But I can tell you, this is a reality, and nobody's been wanting to open their eyes and see it. We just want to go on and think the world's going to tick, 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 and everything's going to just be wonderful. I'm telling you, it's a reality. And America is Mystery Babylon in Revelations. That's what it is, Mystery Babylon. And it says, Babylon, 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 it's fallen. It's fallen. America's going to fall. We live in America. That ought to get your attention. It's going to fall. Do you understand that? And so make sure we don't just read the Bible and think it's going to fall. But I want to tell you, we serve an amazing God. Egypt was the hurt. I mean, when the plagues hit Egypt, the hurt was put on them. But those in Goshen. So I'm declaring I'm going to be in Goshen. Now, some are going to lose their life. That's all right. There were a lot of people lost their life. Jesus lost his life, by the way. Peter, Paul, all them guys lost their life. So it's, you count. And they love not their life unto death. They love not their life unto death. That's fine with me. However God sees it, that's good with me. But I want to make sure whatever it is that I'm going to be living for, I want to make sure I spread the gospel. So fear, you can't have fear. No fear. No fear. Fear and faith can't coexist. You can't have any fear. How would cast out fear? Perfect love. Perfect love. You better fall in love with God, and you better have it on your top notch, number one thing that you do every day is you love the Lord. I'm going to love the Lord today. Because love, perfect love, cast out fear. You got to love God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. That's what he said. Just love the Lord. So I'm going to love God. I don't know what anybody else is. Somebody said, man, y'all going to church again? Yeah, I'm going to love God. You can say whatever you want. Because let me tell you, now it's critical time. It's a critical time right now. It's critical, critical. And I can go on and talk about all sorts of things that I didn't even come, not even mentioning that's happening around the world. And that's critical. But major things to look for coming this September, I'd be praying. I'll be seeking God just like you should be doing. Don't worry about it. Don't fear it. You know, go sleep at and go to bed. And you're going to look and see what's going to go on with the Pope's visit. Go on when I can tell you what he's going to say. He's going to say we need to all come together. We need to be one world order. We all need to unify and all that stuff. That's what he's going to say. We're gonna get together. We need to let Israel have. He's gonna say Israel needs to have peace. We need to stop. No, nobody should be shooting at Israel. And that's gonna be. Oh man, this guy's a great guy. He loves Israel. That's a lie. I'm gonna tell you that's a lie, because he's a false prophet. And so you don't believe false prophets. You trust the word of God. That's all gonna go on in September. So we don't have long. That's just this September. And so if we don't, you know, it's just what it is. Could God come back? Well, he could. Do I think he's going to? Probably not. Yeah. It's going to be during, right, it's going to be during that time. So everybody should know that. That's why it's not a thief, you see. To us, we know he's going to come during that time period. Do we know the day? No. Do we know the hour? That's what he said we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know the day nor the hour. What about the season? What about the appointment? Well, he said that's why I gave you this, for you know that. So we know the season of the appointment, but we don't know the day. Nor the hour. The angels don't know that. Only God himself. And the reason he won't let you know the day and the hour, because it matches the Jewish wedding. The father was the only one that can say to the groom,
Go get your bride. They didn't know when it was going to be because they celebrated for many days, many days. And all of a sudden, the father would come out and say, okay, the bride's ready. And then the groom, he had no idea when the father, he could do it the first day, he could do it the third day, he could do it the fifth day, he could do it the tenth day. He had no idea. The father of the Jewish wedding, he had the authority. And that's the one that knew. And he wouldn't tell nobody. And all of a sudden he said, okay, get your bride. And he'd come out. And now when the way he would do it, he would blow the trumpet. That would signify. He'd blow a trumpet. When the trumpet blew, the shofar blew, the bride automatically started coming. And the groom was coming. And they met one another. He didn't go in the chamber and get it. They met outside. Therefore, we shall meet the Lord in the air. So we're going to go to meet him as he's coming. It's all matches. Everything matches. And it's during the fall feast. We don't know the day nor the hour, though. Because the fall feast, notice how they are. They're different in the days. They're different. Everybody wants to pinpoint it, but you can't. And God has it set up that way. But we do know the season. And we do know, he said, as the days of Noah. So we know we're right there. You've never heard of so much genetic tampering as you do now. And you haven't heard anything yet about really what's out there. It's absolutely scary stuff. And yes, there were giants in the land, in this land that you're walking on. I was just at not far away from the mounds in Ohio. And there were many, many giant bones found there. So giants were here. They were here on this soil. They was on all this, every place, every continent. They were there. Everybody knows they were there, but nobody's telling you that in your history because they cart these things off and they hide them because we can't let the Christians know. Oh, if we let the Christians know, they'll rise up because they'll know their Bible's true. But we know our Bible's true because we believe God. You want to hide it, go on and hide it. That's what the devil does. He hides everything. But it's all about making you have an ability to be God. Be a God, like God, knowing good and evil. And that's the thing that I think was something that, and I could make a case for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I can make a case for that was Satan completely tampering with that right off the bat. Yeah, I can make a case for that in some of my studies that I went through. But again, God is God. He'll never change. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got to be encouraged in it. You got to be happy. You got to be full of joy, and you can't have no fear. And don't be going around worrying about this stuff. You go to be. Listen, the devil comes. Let me tell you something about the devil. He ain't gonna go just because you chopped the tree down. You can say, "I said I'm tired of the devil. Get out my life." That's all you done was chop the tree down. The root's still there. You got to get in the root killing business. Do you understand that? Jesus come out to the fig tree. Where did he curse it to? The root. He cursed it to the root. Ain't no, you're going to cease to exist. There'll be no more. He didn't just curse the tree. That's what people want to do. They want to deal with it in a superficial way. You know, get rid of some. You got to dig up the root because it will grow again. The devil will come because he's got a root. He's got a foothold. But let me tell you, the scripture's clear on it. We have authority over the foothold. We have authority. We cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The devil's got to, he's got to listen. And you got to do it constantly because he's going to always. So let me tell you about a root when you know you got a root problem. You chop the tree down, you feel good because you made a good push. And all of a sudden, you see a little green shoot come right off that root stump. It comes back, and you're going to have to look at it, and you're going to, you got to just start digging it out. Then a little while, you're going to see another one. That's how you know you got a root problem. Then it's going to come again, another one. That's a root problem. You get rid of the root, you won't have none of those things pop up no more, okay? So make sure you do that. So how do you do that? You consciously know what I just told you. You go and pray and say, Lord, I need this power and strength to uproot this evil spirit, this demonic influence. It has no right nor authority in my life. I'm not going to have it.
because it'll be the very thing that tries to separate me from you, and I don't want nothing to separate me from you. So I'm digging the roots up, and I need your strength and the power of the Holy Ghost to do it. What's going to happen? God's going to empower you. You're going to understand what to do, and you're going to be able to quote those scriptures and stand against the devil. All right? Anybody have an evil spirit try to come and torment them at night or whatever? Same thing. Same thing. What you do? You say it's not going to happen here. How many times you do it? As often as it comes, and you never miss a single time. The moment you miss a single time, all the ground you covered while you was fighting it, it's going to take it all back. You always got to be consistent, and you don't. And the moment you stay firm on the word of God, the devil's got to flee because you submit to the Lord. And the devil has to flee, has to go. So keep that in mind as you take your time going through this. And we're going to keep on this. I got many more scripture to talk about. I want you to be in prayer. The reason I wasn't here Thursday and Sunday, I was cutting the grass on Monday. And as I was cutting the grass,